Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of the Roman Scripture Journal. But first, here's the message, Making Sense Out of Suffering.
Take God's Word and turn with me to the fifth chapter of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5. Our nation, as you know, is in deep trouble. We are divided. There is chaos all around us, insecurity, uncertainty. We don't know what's happening next, and whether you look at it politically or morally, spiritually, we know that our nation and the world is a broken world. People need the Lord. And there is peace when you know Jesus Christ. There is peace with God. I want us to read together the first five verses. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Everybody say amen. Amen. So there you have it. God says, we have been justified by faith, therefore, these are the blessings, the benefits that follow to those of us who have experienced this eternal salvation in Christ. It's all about the gospel, this good news that we have in Jesus Christ, and what that means, not only forever, but right now. Do you have peace with God? Too many people think that peace can be found in a process, doing something, achieving something, or that peace can be found in a product, something you buy, the next big thing you want, you get, and you're happy, you're peaceful. Some think that it is in a place. If I can just get to my vacation place, then I will be at peace and take a deep breath. But no, it's not in a process, it's not in a purchase, it's not in a place, and it's certainly not in a pill. Peace is in a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the first thing that I want you to see in the scripture today is that we have the peace of God, and therefore we are eternally saved. Having been justified. Remember that word justified means that we are now acquitted of all wrongdoing. It never happened. We are pardoned and it's permanent. All of our sins are forgiven because of what Christ has done at the cross. And God has said in the face of our judgment, not guilty because of what Christ has done. We are acquitted of all of our crimes and high treason against the King of the universe. But not only does justification mean that we are acquitted, but it also means that we are accredited with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When God now sees us, he sees not our sin, but the Savior who lives within. We have Christ living in us. And when it says here that therefore we are justified, that's a done deal. It's in a tense of the language of the New Testament, which means completely finished, done deal. So many live with uncertainty and insecurity regarding their salvation. You ask people, do you know for certain that you have eternal life, that you're going to heaven? And so many people say, well, I don't know. Or I hope so. Or I think so. Or maybe so. God wants you to know so. These things are written, God's word, that you may know that you have eternal life. and we are therefore justified. The devil wants you to doubt, because if he can get you to doubt, he will neutralize your testimony for Christ. If somehow the flaming arrows of doubt can enter your brain, you begin to think, well, I don't know if I'm a Christian or not, and it shuts you down in terms of your witness. So many people do not know whether they are saved or not. But the answer is yes, 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 amen, and yes, you can know for certain that you have eternal life. We are confident in this, not because of what we say, but because of what God says. We are confident not in ourselves, but we are confident in Christ and what Christ has done for us. Never live in fear if you live in Christ, if you know Christ. But not only are we eternally saved, past, present, and future, our sins are forgiven, we're saved from our sins, but we are, because of this justification in Jesus Christ, this salvation that we now possess, it is permanent. We are eternally secure, eternally saved, and eternally secure. In other words, once you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are forever saved. You are forever saved because you are forever His. It is once saved, always saved. We have eternal life. You say, well, what if I'm not good enough? Or what if I can't hang on long enough? What if I sin, a great sin? Am I still saved? In Christ, you are forever His. The Bible says, verse 2, in this same passage, we are standing in grace. If you're saved by grace, you are standing by grace. The Bible says we are kept by the power of God, that we are held in His omnipotent grip. The Father's hand holds us. We have eternal life. Therefore, eternal grace equals eternal glory. It's eternal. Here's a verse you ought to know if you don't know it already. And the words of Jesus in John chapter 5 and verse 24. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has, not will get, but has eternal life. And he does not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life." When you believe and trust in God through Jesus Christ, you now have eternal life. Eternal life doesn't happen when you die. If you don't have it before then, it will be too late. Eternal life happens the moment you respond to the gospel and receive Christ into your life. Then you have eternal life. Do we sin? Do we backslide? Yes, of course. But you cannot sin away eternal life. We have it, and we have it now. That's why I love the scripture in the words of Paul, who says, "I know whom I've believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed unto him against that day." What day? The day we stand before God when Christ returns. So that means if this is true, and it is true according to God's word, then you should have complete and total peace. We have peace with God. Now, I want to explain something to you about the peace with God as compared to the peace of God, because they're two different things. The scripture says here in verse 1 that therefore we are justified, we have peace with God. The world is at war with God. And every person born is born into rebellion against God. But God has given us peace through the Lord Jesus Christ with God. When Jesus died on the cross and he cried out, "It is finished," to tetelestai, not only did it mean the plan of salvation was finished, but it means the war is over. That God has given us victory in the Lord Jesus Christ when we come to faith in him. And we have peace then with God. The wrath of God no longer burns against sin in my life, but now it is forgiven and I have this peace that I know that I'm no longer at war with God. That's the relationship that we have with Christ. The peace of God is something that comes along with the peace that we have with God. The peace of God is emotional tranquility and the inner peace that the scripture talks about. It says, don't be anxious for anything in Philippians 4. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. With thanksgiving in your heart, let your requests be made known to God. And what will happen? The peace of God, the peace of God that passes all comprehension and understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus our Lord. So you see, we have not only peace with God, eternal peace with God, but we have emotional peace with God and of God, the peace of God in your life. Can you say, I have peace, God's peace in my life?
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Making Sense Out of Suffering. God is moving through PowerPoint, and your support to finish the year strong by June 30th means reaching more people with the hope of the gospel in the months ahead. That's why we're excited to tell you about a generous matching grant, which doubles your gift to help anchor more people in God's Word and the good news of Jesus Christ. As thanks for your support, we'll send you a copy of the Roman Scripture Journal. So call now to have your gift doubled and request your journal at 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text Romans to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, Making Sense Out of Suffering.
But not only do we have peace with God, but we have, according to this scripture, we have the privileges of grace. Look at verse 2. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Two things happen when we are justified, when we are saved and eternally saved and secure. We have approval, God's approval, God's favor, and we have access. We have access into the presence of God. Remember when Christ died and the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, signifying that it came top down, not bottom up? Something, not something that man could do, but what God did. But when the veil of the temple to the Holy of Holies, the most beautiful and wonderful place of the presence of God, no one could enter the Holy of Holies except the priest once a year, the high priest. But when Christ died, the veil was split. It was torn apart from top to bottom. Not to let God out, but to let us in. So now we have access by faith into the very presence of God. How? We stand in the undeserved, unmerited favor and grace of God. Notice it says we stand in the grace of God. Do you see that there? In verse 2, we stand in the grace of God. Grace is undeserved, unmerited, but we stand in this grace. So now when we come to God through Christ by his grace, we are not there groveling. We're not begging. We're not cowering in the presence of God, but we're standing in access, in approval, in the presence of God. The Bible says no one can see God and live. And yet now, because of what Christ has done, the Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. So yes, we come humbly to Christ and receiving His grace, but there's that strong word that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. We can stand in His presence. We have this privilege of access. And when it says we can come boldly, that's a word that means we can speak freely. You know, if you welcome someone in to your life, if you truly have a relationship, you that gives them the boldness, the access to speak freely. And God is saying that we can come before Him now because of what He's done in our lives, that we can come into His presence humbly and yet boldly, and we can say what's on our hearts. We can speak our mind. Why? Because you are a child of the King. We can come anytime into His presence and tell Him what's on our heart, tell Him what's on our minds. We can speak to Him. God says, come to me. But not only do we have peace with God, and not only do we have the privileges of grace, but we have the promise of glory. Look again in verse 2. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It says, we exult, we rejoice. The word there is to exult, which is an explosive term. It means exuberant praise. It means to rejoice from deep within. You know what it really means? It means to sing and shout the glory of God, this great hope that we have, Christ, who is the hope of glory. This is, someone said, to rejoice in hope is our happy certainty. And so this hope in which we exult, this hope in which we rejoice and explode in praise to God. Hope is light in the darkest night. Hope in Christ. Christ, the Bible says, is our hope. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And what is glory? Well, we found out in Romans 3:23 that we all fall short of the glory of God. That's sin. We all fall short of God's glory. So what is it? The glory of God is another word for His very presence. The glory of God is another word for heaven. And then hope and glorious hope is often code for the coming of Jesus Christ, who is the blessed hope. So think, when you read of glory and the glory which is to come, think of the coming of Christ into this world. And Christ is coming again. And that's our only hope for peace in the world, when the Prince of Peace comes again and establishes His eternal kingdom. 2 Corinthians 10:17 says, but let he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. The scripture also says in Colossians 3 and verse 4 that one day when He shall appear, we will appear with Him in glory. So when you read glory, glory in the Bible, think of our glorious Savior and His glorious promise of hope in heaven, and think of His glorious return. One day He's coming for you. And therefore we rejoice. We once fell short of His glory, way short, could never get there on our own. But now we celebrate His glory because of His grace. One more thing. We not only have peace with God and privileges of grace and the promise of glory, one day we will be with Him, but we have also the potential of growth. You say, what does that mean? Well, look at verse 3. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Remember, we're saying we're making sense of our sufferings. We rejoice in our sufferings knowing, mark that word, knowing. You're going to see it show up several times here. We don't live by what we feel, but what we know. So knowing this, deep within, that we rejoice in our sufferings, and this produces endurance. And endurance produces character or purity. And character produces hope. And hope doesn't ever put us to shame. It doesn't disappoint us, because God has given us His Spirit and poured out His Spirit into our hearts. When He says we rejoice in our sufferings, it's a word that means tribulations. Suffering there means tribulation. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulations. So what is it? It means pressure. It's a word which literally means weight or pressure. Bowed down with burdens. And there are all kinds of pressures that we face on a human level. And whether it's a financial pressure or whether it's a physical problem in your life, that's a pressure, that's a suffering, that's a tribulation, it's trouble. Pressure can come from the world, pressure can come from within, pressure can come from without as Satan attacks us. But pressure is real. And the Bible tells us we will not escape tribulation. Don't think that Christianity is immunity from pressure or problems. You know it's not true. We have times of suffering and seasons of suffering in our lives. And so why does God allow it? Because this tribulation brings perseverance or patient endurance. Endurance is sometimes all we have left. Endurance, when we as Christians, by the power and the strength, and we have the Holy Spirit, we deliberately choose to keep going and never quit. And before you know it, we realize we're stronger. We're better. We have more endurance. We have more strength. And our faith has more fortitude. This word patient endurance, I love it. It means victorious resilience. It's not just grin and bear it, but it is enjoying and enlisting even the suffering and the pain of life as an ally to mature us and develop us in Christ. Hope is a result of character. Suffering makes sense in the light of this hope. Things that don't make sense down here doesn't mean they don't make sense up there. And this is our hope in Christ. Even in the pressure and pain, there is joyful expectation, and hope does not disappoint. God turns our trials and tragedies into triumphs and victories. And when suffering doesn't make sense, we trust God to turn it around, to turn the breakdown into a build-up in our lives. When you discover Jesus is all you have, you will discover that Jesus is all you need.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Making Sense Out of Suffering. Our world is confused about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Self-proclaimed social media scholars are giving their opinions about the way to God. However, many of those opinions fall short of the truth. The book of Romans outlines the gospel of Jesus and gives us a clear representation of what it means to be a Christian. To help you explore one of the most powerful books of the Bible, we'll send you the Roman Scripture Journal when you give a gift to PowerPoint. And thanks to a generous matching grant, your gift today is worth double to help proclaim the good news till the whole world hears. So call now to have your gift doubled and request your copy of the journal at 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text Romans to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Well, it is absolutely clear that all of us face tragedies, whether those tragedies are on an international scale or whether it's a personal tragedy in your own life, some crisis that you're facing. But you can count on the fact that in the midst of tragedy, in every crisis of life, that God is there, and that even pain, incredible pain, is a gift from God to drive us to Him. And God takes our pain and even those questions, those perplexities of our lives, and He mixes them together in the power of His love at the cross. And that's why Romans 8:28 says, "For we know, we do know, that God is working all things together for the good to them who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose." And I believe we can write Romans 8:28 over every situation in our lives as believers and followers of Christ. You know, God has given Christians an open door, and that open door is to go to people who have great need in their life and not only clothe the naked and feed the hungry and to take care of those who are brokenhearted, but to share the love of Jesus Christ, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many of the people in these countries are Muslim people, and this is an opportunity for those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to show them and to tell them what our faith is all about. And that's my prayer, that you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, will get engaged in mission, not only to the nations, but to your neighbors, that you will be sharing the love of Jesus Christ. First and foremost, you need to have that personal relationship with Christ to share with someone else. And when you do, you can know that your faith will hold against the tides of life, the riptides, the storms, the tidal waves that come against us. And at the same time, you will have a message of hope and love to share with the world. He is God. He is always God on good days as well as bad days. Every day, He is both sovereign and in control of all of our experiences in life. So with that faith and with that confidence, we share the message of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you the Roman Scripture Journal as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word Romans 59789. And join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about how God's grace empowers you to live a brand new life. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.